Shabbat Shalom, y'all. The Torah portion this Shabbat, Numbers 16 through 18, is called Korah, named after, Korah, named after the leader of an infamous rebellion against Moses and Aaron, one which ended catastrophically. This is now the third challenge to Moses' leadership. The first from his own siblings, Aaron and Miriam, allegedly for having married an Ethiopian woman. The second was the evil report of the 10 spies and their accusation that Moses brought them out into the desert to die. Each rebellion ended in disaster. Korach is an especially grievous parasha, but it is vital that we never forget how prone we are to sin and rebellion. Korah, a Levite, along with Datan, Aviram, and Un, assembled 250 leading men and challenged Moses and Aaron for leadership over Israel. They accused Moses of exalting himself and claimed that all Israelis were holy and should be allowed to be priests. I seem to recall that Moses didn't want the job in the first place, asking God to send somebody else. And at this point, he's 80 plus years old. Who at that stage of life wants the burden of leading a nation full of kvetchers? Personally, I'd rather be in Myrtle Beach sipping an Arnold Palmer. The pretext for the rebellion was the execution of a Sabbath breaker. Korach says to Moses, "You have gone far enough," and would have everybody believe he was indignant over the execution and merely sought equal spiritual opportunity for all Israelis. Korach made himself out to be a real man of the people. This was populism. Perhaps he'd been building up resentment about the exclusive appointment of the Kohanim, the priests, he not being one of them. What is certain is that he rejected Moses' leadership, tantamount to rebellion against God who commissioned Moses. Do you really suppose that Korach assembled 250 of the most influential men in Israel that quickly? It takes considerable time and effort to build a coalition. I suspect he'd been rallying others secretly all along, making promises, working the phones, as it were, getting them ready to act on his signal at an opportune time. I think Korach had long resented Moses' position and that this was just raw personal ambition masquerading as spirituality. Jude verses 11 through 16 seems to confirm Korach's wicked intentions. In actuality, Korach was imitating Satan, who in eternity past gathered his own following to launch a heavenly coup. Moses tells Korach and company, "Tomorrow morning, Adonai will show who is his and who is holy and who he chooses to bring near to himself," instructing them to come with fire pans and incense to the tent of meeting. In essence, Moses said to Korach, "Your contention that any Israeli can offer incense to the Lord, what do you say we put it to the test? Are you ready to stake your life on it?" Now remember that under pain of death, only Kohanim were permitted to offer incense before Adonai. Now, Korach was from the tribe of Levi, but he was not from the family of Aaron. He was not a priest. The next morning, Korach and the others show up with their censers, but Datan and Aviram refused the summons. The 250 men, leading men, lit their censers and put incense on it. What happened next was terrifying. God sent forth fire and slew them. God instructed Moses to warn the entire congregation to back away from the tents of Korach, Datan, and Aviram. Moses declared, if these men and their families die a natural death, then you'll know that God didn't send me. But if Adonai brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens and swallows them up, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned Adonai. At that instant, the earth split open beneath the tents of those three, and they and their families plunged into the earth, and it immediately closed back up. The people were terrified, but as often is the case, fear turns to hostility. The next day, a mob rose up against Moses and Aaron, blaming them for the deaths. Adonai appeared, warning Moses and Aaron to move away from the people. Instead, Moses interceded for Israel. He fell on his knees right there, and he instructed Aaron to light incense and atone for the people. But before it was over, 14,700 people, presumably that mob, were struck with a plague and died. Moses' and Aaron's intercession were the only thing that averted God's wrath, and as a result, Israel was spared. In chapter 17, God commanded that a leader from each of the tribes bring a staff, a rod, with their name etched on it, and come to the tent of meeting. Aaron's name was etched on the rod, the staff belonging to the tribe of Levi. The rods were deposited in the tent, and God said, "The rod of the man whom I choose will sprout." The next day, not weeks later, months later, the next day, when the 12 rods were brought back out, Aaron's had sprouted. And not just leaves, but buds, blossoms, and ripe almonds. This miracle established explicitly God's choice of Aaron's family line as priests. That rod was later placed in the Ark of the Covenant as a perpetual reminder to the nation. In chapter 18, Adonai reiterated the responsibilities of Levites and of priests, as well as their portions from Israel's offerings. Let me conclude with a few thoughts. For thousands of years now, Moses has been revered by our people. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. But he was hated and ill-treated by his own generation. How cavalierly we look back and say to ourselves, that was so wrong. I would never have joined in that mob. Are you sure about that? Later, God sent us prophets, and they were likewise disdained. Eventually, God sent his chosen Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. And look how Israel treated him. The painful lesson of Parashat Korach is that we spurn Adonai when we spurn his choices. Israel paid a terrible price for their disdain of Moses, God's chosen mediator. Now, if the judgment on Korach and company seems harsh, remember, this was the generation that witnessed God's miracles in the deliverance out of Egypt. Consider then how much severer will be the consequences for disdaining Messiah Yeshua, the ultimate mediator whom God sent. Because to whom much is given, much is required. Consider the contrast, and this is what I was thinking all week long as I thought about this parasha. Consider the contrast between Korach, who sought to supplant Moses, and Aaron and Hur, who held up his arms when he became weary. What is your attitude toward the spiritual leader or leaders that God has placed in your midst? Steer clear of anyone who seeks to undermine them. Like Korach, they are plotting rebellion, and if you don't back away from their tent, you'll suffer in the fallout. Perhaps the author of the letter to the Messianic Jews, Hebrews, was thinking about all the grief that Moses had to endure when he wrote this. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. May Adonai give each of us a heart of humility and gratitude. Amen.